You guys, I tell you, you're so awesome. I'm sure at home you're not, but boy, in church you are. You are. I don't know why I say things like that. the way I see it, you know, it's the way I see things. You know, I mean, sometimes you see things a little bit differently than other people see things. You know, I have the magnifying glass. I'm wearing glasses now, and it's just, I mean, and darkness, oh my gosh. I can't see the ground when it's dark. I can't see anything in the dark. Diana's got like bat eyes. She don't need anything on, no lights, nothing. She, boom, she's all set. Me, I'm different, and I want to talk about what we see and what we experience, because we all know the danger of wearing rose-colored glasses, but there's a danger sometimes when we're, you know, all wearing Eeyore glasses. Remember Eeyore? Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, the donkey, you know? You wish, you know, if you wish Eeyore a happy birthday, you know, what does happy birthday, you know, hey, Eeyore, happy birthday, what's he going to say? Yes, I know. I'm another year older and closer to death. And he does not inspire people. You don't want to get on a ship and see that Eeyore is your captain. All right? You're just thinking that's going to head me to all kinds of problems and sorrows. And if a challenge comes up, he's going to give up. And that's not going to be hopeful. That's not going to be helpful. No one's confident when Eeyore is your leader. No one gets confidence from seeing Eeyores. There's just something about, and that's why it is for Christians, it's so important for us to be able to share messages and visions of hope. You've seen those commercials, okay is not okay? Have you seen those? My favorite one is the surgeon. You know, where the surgeon is walking in. There's a hospital, all right, and the dad's in the hospital bed, and the wife is there, and the kids are in the back, and the doctor's coming down the hallway and says, guess who gets reinstated? Well, not officially yet. And then he walks in the hospital room, and he said, you guys nervous? And he goes, yeah, so am I. It's all right, we'll work it out. Okay is not okay. That's not what you want to hear from your surgeon. You want to hear hope. You want to hear healing. You want to hear positive and see positive thoughts. We're going to sing at the end of the sermon. We're going to see, great is thy faithfulness, talking about God. We're not going to sing, mediocre is your faithfulness. We're not going to sing, okay is your faithfulness. We're going to sing, great is your faithfulness. You know, we are Christians. We are tasked with the responsibility of giving to the world, of giving to our communities a new vision of hope. I understand we are living in difficult times, but if you've studied history, there's always difficult times. There's always discord. There's always disunity. We're going to celebrate tomorrow, Martin Luther King Day. But people forget it wasn't all roses and wonderful stuff back then. It was terrible. And he had a whole different speech plan. And Mahalia Jackson, the choir, all right, they said, don't tell them your stupid plan. Tell them your dream. Give to the country a vision. And he listened to him. That's what he did. That's what everybody remembers. That's what inspired people. It inspires people when we are able to stand up and give them hope. When we're able to tell people that the way things are is not the way they're always going to be. In our scripture reading today was Psalm 40. The psalmist is giving a testimony. I was stuck. I was in a pit. I was in a miry bog. Does that sound exciting? No. Does it sound familiar? Yes. We've all been stuck. There's been times in our lives when we all seem to be mired in quicksand and swampland and all kinds of terrible stuff. We just can't seem. And God comes and releases us. We're burdened by a sin or by guilt or by shame. And God comes and releases us. We're wondering or fighting against a situation or a circumstance that we don't think can ever come, ever be overcome. And God empowers us with a new vision of hope and allows us to see the possibilities of how God continues to be working in the world and in our lives. And so many times, that's what the world needs to hear now. They don't need to hear. The world is not hungry to hear about the four spiritual laws. They want to hear, where's God when I'm stuck? And we have an opportunity and an obligation to be able to share that news with them. They're not hungry to hear about 8-point path to heaven or something. They want to know, how is God going to help me? How is God going to help the world? How is God going to help our country? How is going to God help us live the way God intended us to live? And we're able to share testimonies about that. We're able to give witness to that. Because all of us have seen times when things looked really bleak and looked really bad. And we're able to tell people, but that wasn't the end of the story. I turned the page and God drew me up out of the pit. And God set my feet on the solid rock. Took me out of that swamp. Made my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. We think about how music works all the time in our lives. When people want to know about God's redemption, when stress is overwhelming them, when evil seems to be all around them, when their heart fails them and their sins just continue to cause them to stumble, we remember that God is working in our lives, and we remember times when we were challenged and God helped us overcome. We remember when we were, again, pulled out of that swamp. We don't hide all that in our heart. Well, yeah, God works in my life, but I don't want to tell anybody about it. Why would we keep all that hope to ourselves, not share that message of redemption, not share the hope of possibility, not share how God works in terrible situations and God can continue to work? He's looking for us to be the ones that give voice to that song. He's looking to us to be the ones that give witness to that testimony. That's what the psalmist does. I was down and God lifted me up. I was overwhelmed and God protected me. I was sinking and God redeemed me. All of those things are happening, and that's the power of possibilities for us. And music is a part of that, and hope is a part of that. We look through history. We want to look at history, and we look at our own country's history. World War II and all the disaster that was, and the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. And here's a cripple, FDR, a cripple, a man struck down by polio. Couldn't stand up and walk from here to there if he had to. And he's our leader. And he inspired the nation. We've got nothing to fear. Amen. But fear itself. Don't give in to fear. Don't let fear control you. Don't let the circumstances you see affect what you believe in your heart. Hold on to that which is true. Do you all know the overture 1812? 1812, remember, everybody knows that one. That's a great, you know, we get inspired. It has nothing to do with America, by the way. Arthur Fiedler did it in 77, and it stuck, you know. We're thinking it's about, you know, it was about Russia. And if you're familiar with it in 1812, what was happening? Napoleon was just wiping the heck out of everybody. He's the new, well, not the New England Patriots anymore. Nope. Okay? He was wiping out everybody, and he's going to attack Russia. Now, Russia's a large geographical area, but they're not really too intimidating. And the Tsar had asked the people of Russia to pray. This is before they were communists. Pray. And if you know history, you know what happened. All kinds of great things ended up happening. What happened? Napoleon ended up... That became the beginning of the end for Napoleon. Tolstoy's War and Peace came out of that. The Overture of 1812 came out of that. And people get inspired, and it drums them up, and boom, boom, and your cannon's going off, and fireworks are going off, and we're all inspired by that song and by that music and the hope that it brings us. You hear that song, and it just brings you hope. You're inspired by it. You believe that God continues to be working. We read the Bible, not because God's going to give us a test before he lets us in heaven. He gives us the Bible so we can have hope. And then when you read the Bible and you start there in Genesis, here's an old man, even older than me, if you can imagine what that was like. Here's an old man. 100 years old. He's old. And he's married to an older woman, a younger woman, but she's old too. And yet somehow between this old man and this old woman, they have a son. And they give more than just birth to a son. They give birth to a nation. Because they have hope and trust and belief and faith, and they know that God can continue to be working. Do you know the story? If you read the story, there's a story in here about a guy with a stick. You ever seen that story? A guy with a stick named Moses. God gives him a stick and says, go face down that empire. Really? With a stick? You're giving me a stick to face down the Egyptian empire? That's all I get? And the people of Israel are redeemed. God calls David. Says, go get that giant. You mean like that guy that's like 10 feet tall? Yeah, go get him. Here's a stone. It's a sword fight. Don't you have like a magic sword? Something, laser, light sword, Star Wars, you ever seen it? A stone. You read the Bible, and you find out that God's own son was dead, on a cross, was dead. He wasn't just mostly dead, he was dead. He was this dead, you ask his mom, she'll tell you, he was dead. He was not only dead on a cross, he was dead in a tomb. And they put a stone in front of it, and soldiers in front of the stone. He was dead. He was locked in death. And God's power and hope and love and grace calls Jesus out of that tomb. And resurrection power began to be spread among all the people. You read this book, you look at the stories, you hear about them, and you see, you've heard me say it before, God takes a bunch of losers and dopes and idiots and says, here's the keys to the kingdom, go tell everybody about it. They couldn't get their way out of a wet paper bag. They never could seem to get the story straight. And yet, the kingdom grew because the message wasn't about them. The message was about God. It was about bringing hope to people when they're fighting terribly hopeless situations, reminding people that God's vision is bigger than any circumstance, any situation. There are possibilities always unfolding before God. God is not limited by the way things are, because God is giving to us a vision of the way things can be. Too many times we allow ourselves to get mired down and bogged down, and we forget about the God who brings hope to hopeless situations and light to dark times. And that's why we have this song. There's a song been out for a while now by a Christian group called I Am They. Don't you love that title? I mean, it used to be, like I said, Howard Lemon and the Lemon Sisters or something like that. You know, that makes sense. I Am They. You don't know who anybody is anywhere. I Am They. And they've redone the song, My Feet Are on the Rock. Remember how that song used to go? My sinking in sand, my feet are on the rock. And they've redone this in a way that's really powerful. When you get to that chorus, we stomp our feet, we clap our hands, our feet are on the rock. We stomp our feet and clap our hands. We're standing on the rock. We clap our hands, stomp our feet, are standing on the rock. Yeah, we just keep going in our head and how powerful that can be, how that witness can be. We stomp our feet and clap our hands. Our feet are on the rock. We stomp our feet, we clap our hands. Our feet are on the rock. That's who we are as Christians. That's who we are as disciples. We stomp our feet. We clap our hands. Our feet are on the rock. Amen. Amen.